You're listening to the Hometown Goshen Podcast, a weekly show that takes a look at what makes Goshen home. I'm JC Lee. Now imagine yourself in the middle of downtown with a shovel. If you were to crack a sidewalk open and dig through the soil, you could expect dirt, some earthworms, and maybe some forgotten dog bones. But dig yourself a hole in the right corners and you could find yourself in one of 20 vaults in Goshen. Thing is, these vaults aren't going to be around for very much longer. They're dangerous, and the city's looking to close them down. But what were these vaults used for exactly? Reporter Sharon Hernandez went to the Goshen Historical Society to find that out.
In the summer of 2012, Ken Carner, the owner of the Dewdrop Inn on Main Street, fell through a hole that opened in the sidewalk in front of his own property. And as it turned out, after a series of investigations, the city found a number of empty spaces, or vaults, under the sidewalks downtown. And that's what started the city's downtown vault closure program. Here's Mark Brinson, the Director of Community Development, to explain what these underground vaults are.
When I first heard the term of vaults in the downtown, I had a sort of image, and I think people do, they kind of, it is sort of this mysterious kind of image that you have of the vaults, but it's not a vault in a traditional sense of a place where you put money. It's not like this big door and behind it you don't know what's there. I mean, vaults were traditionally just extensions of buildings that went under the sidewalks, and in some cases they were used for like access to the building. And in downtown Goshen, we had businesses that had their front door was actually through a vault, through an opening in the sidewalk where people would walk down a stairway to the lower level business.
So the city started by making an inventory and went out to find these vaults. In some cases, they made inspections in the basements of the buildings. In others, the city used some special equipment called ground-penetrating radar to find vaults that had been separated from the basement through a wall. In total, the city found 24 underground vaults that were still in need of repair.
So as a result of that inventory process, we developed this vault closure program. And that involved funding that came from the Redevelopment Commission. The commission committed $60,000 to create a matching program. And the idea was we said we would partner with property owners and we would share in the cost of filling the vaults.
Now, the property owners had the option to apply for the program or make repairs to the vaults themselves, but it was their responsibility to take care of the issue. And while many decided to fill in their vaults, the Goshen Historical Society thought it only made sense to keep theirs. So the Historical Society raised money and began making repairs in the summer of 2014, and they hope to have the vault fully restored this year. I was personally curious about the vault under the Goshen Historical Society, so I gave them a call and asked if they'd give me a tour.
Right now, we're in the basement of our building, and we're facing west, and we're looking at the vault that goes underneath the sidewalk. And it was probably built when this building was built in 1888, and it was built for a boot and shoe store. We're the only ones that far as I know that this latest rounds everybody's filled in, we've saved ours. We had to put bracing up to support it to meet code for the city.
This is Dale Garber, the curator at the Goshen Historical Society. You can find the museum at 124 South Main Street. To get to the vault, you have to walk through the basement, which is this big space filled with artifacts and thousands of newspaper clippings and photographs. And the vault itself, it looks like a small brick room that has a doorway and an opening on each side of windows, a typical entrance of the downtown stores in the late 1800s. But as new styles of storefronts became popular in the early 1900s, the sidewalks were extended to the buildings and the vaults became a thing of the past.
When this was built in 1888, it had a certain style. All right, in 1900 to 1910, the new architect design come out and they called it modern storefronts. Up until that time period, when you was coming in the front door, you had to go up one or two steps or more to get in the front of the building. What's unique about this building, in 1904, they actually lowered a floor in this building. So when we come in through the front door, you walk straight from the sidewalk in. There was 10 stores that did that in Goshen.
And while the Historical Society continues repairing their vault, the city's vault closure program is about ready to wrap up, with all inspections clear and all vaults accounted for.
We believe we've identified all the vaults. There could be, you know, maybe we missed it through the inspections and the ground penetrating radar. It's possible there's one that's still out there. We don't know, but we really put major energy and effort into trying to find the vaults and then developing a program to address the problem. So I'd be surprised if there's really any new surprises out there, but you know, you never know.
As far as the Goshen Historical Society's vault, Garber said you are more than welcome to visit anytime. All you have to do is stop by the museum and ask.
That was reporter Sharon Hernandez with a story about some of the vaults hidden beneath downtown Goshen. You're listening to the Hometown Goshen podcast. I'm JC Lee. You've got the Americana bands and the folk ensembles in Goshen, but there's one Spanish language experimental rock band that's starting to get some national attention. La Locura was recently featured on National Public Radio's Alt Latino. It's a music program for Latin alternative and rock. And we met up with the band to talk about the mishmash of different genres in their music, as well as some of the social issues that form the basis for some of their lyrics.
My name is Adam Carter. I play rhythm guitar with the band and sing some background vocals.
And Adam Hart, I play the bass.
Sonny Carreño, drums.
I'm Rafael Chavez. I play the guitar and sing. You know, most people, if I tell them, hey, we're playing in a Latin rock band, they'll be like thinking of like fancy piano rhythms and like congas and like all these Latin, you know, like generic Latin sounds, and we're really nothing like that. I'd say we're like more like of a or like experimental in a way, like rock band with like Spanish lyrics.
Yeah, in some ways it has a lot more to do with not classic rock, no, although we take some of those sounds, but definitely you know, playing around with the forms. Everything is not quite predictable.
Mm-hmm. I always have this little moment early in the morning when I go to work, and I always like just read the news or like watch what's new on the NPR music section. And on one of those times, they have one of those ads on the side. You know, we're having this tiny desk contest. A tiny desk concert is like a popular thing that they do on NPR. They always have like they feature a well-established artist. And he'll go play in this really awkward looking office and play some songs in front of this mic and like people watching him in an office. So it's kind of like a funny concept. So they were having a contest about that, and I just told the guys, hey, we should do this, you know, we could just win this contest and go to this festival and drink some beer, you know. and that got all their attention. So that's how we got it started. So we practiced here in my house, and we just did it in our room, you know. I would read the Alt Latino show, which was ultimately the one that we ended up being featured. They picked us as one of their favorite like Latino submissions, you know. So I always had like this dream of like being like, oh, we have to get into Alt Latino at some point, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know how we're gonna do it, but it would be cool if we got featured in it. And like, it feels good to know that like we're doing something right, you know, because it's not just us playing in our room being like, dude, that was awesome, we're awesome, you know, and it's just five of us. You know, it's like someone heard something in our music and in our message or whatever, you know, and like that gives me some affirmation that we're doing something right, you know, we're going in the right direction. I guess my musical background goes as far as like when I used to live in Mexico. I started playing guitar in school, and my grandpa was a mariachi musician, and my dad was did professional music playing for a lot of his youth years, and
he played keyboards, right?
Yeah, he played keyboards, so all of that kind of like got me excited, and that's how I decided to start playing the guitar. And I mean, then I moved here to Goshen 14 years ago, and since then, my journey has gone different places, and through all those experiences, I guess I've learned different styles, and as well as maintaining what I started with. So all of that has influenced the sound of the music that we play for sure. A lot of these songs are just love songs, you know, like any other like language, and any you go to any country, you're gonna find a good old like love song, you know. And a lot of the songs that I've written are just plain old love songs, you know, with like, hey girl, I love you type of thing, you know. So like very, very like personal things, you know. I mean, and of course those things are always motivated by like real experiences and stuff. On other songs, they're more social, or like sort of like bringing social awareness to like social issues. The song that we submitted for the NPR contest, for instance, it's a song that talks about like the immigration issue, you know. And one of the things that we wanted to make clear about that song was the lyrics, the message. So if you go online and watch the video, you'll see that it has like subtitles, because we wanted to be very clear about what this song was, you know. Like we wanted to, this is the message, this is what we're saying, you know, and we want you to understand it because we want to raise awareness, you know.
Yo soy indocumentado. Me crucé hace 13 años y hasta hoy nunca he regresado. Me compré.
And can you tell me how you got started writing that song?
It was, I was an undocumented immigrant in the United States for most of the time that I've been here, and a lot of the friends that I've made here and family that have come and gone were undocumented as well. So it's a very personal song in a way, because it does talk about like things that I experience, you know, and like that I've heard from family and friends, people that get, families that get broken apart, because maybe the dad or the mom get deported and their children are like, no one can take care of them, or like simply like language barriers that start happening within families, you know, like the younger kids start learning English and then like the parents, because they're working all the time, they cannot communicate with their children as they used to before, you know. So it's a lot of those issues that we experience as like in our journey as undocumented. I try not to be very negative about things, but sometimes those are the things that move me the most. Sometimes, I mean, something that it's happening in somewhere else, and not only in the United States. I mean, one of the most recent songs that I wrote was inspired by some massacre that occurred back in Mexico and the disappearance of students that are mobilizing to just get their social life in a better place, you know, and like they disappear and no one knows where they are. And those things, I mean, they're kind of negative, but at the same time, I feel inspired to talk about them because people need to know about these things, you know, everywhere in the world, you know. It's just, because these things happen in a lot of places in the world, you know, and it's not just, you know, it's not fair. So people need to know about these things. So that's kind of how I get into those social issues.
In some ways, I think the writing is still in a very early stage of the group, because Rafael does all the writing. I can't think of a tune off the top of my head that he's co-written with anyone else. When we rehearse, he'll have a demo. Here's a song I'm working on. We learn it. We put our spin on it. Everybody contributes to the arrangement, that sort of thing. But as far as co-writing, it would be interesting to hear a Texan hooking up with an Indiana guy who grew up with grunge, hooking up with the Ohio guy who grew up playing Americana and that sort of thing, and then you put jalapenos in it and see what you get. So I think where we're headed is still very exciting. Testimonios, for example, yeah, we're a Latin rock band, but you know what? That song is funk and reggae with a lot of Latin feel in it. So I think we're very much at the tip of the iceberg of the whole thing.
Now let's take a look at what's coming up this week in Goshen. On Thursday, the Art House is going to be showing a free documentary called Food for Change. It's a movie about food co-ops and how they can be a force for social and economic change. The documentary will start at 6:30 p.m., and there'll be a conversation after the movie. And of course, you can't forget First Fridays. This month's theme is live and local, and a number of local artists and bands will be painting and performing all throughout downtown. The Tumbleweed Jumpers will be playing from 5 to 9 at the Goshen Brewing Company. Diane Overmeyer will be painting at Goshen Historical Society. And GoProf will be having an improv jam at the Art House from 6 to 8. And those are only three of many, many different artists, painters, and events that are going to be around downtown Goshen. That's it for another Hometown Goshen podcast. We'd like to thank Dale Garber and Mark Brinson for being a part of the show. And of course, we'd like to thank and congratulate the members of La Locura for being featured on NPR and coming on to our show. And last but not least, I'd like to thank Sharon Hernandez for bringing us today's feature story. So everyone, until next week, keep warm and thanks for listening.